What's up, everybody? DJ here from Move the Sticks. Along with Bucky Brooks, our podcast, we look at the NFL through a player personnel perspective, looking at teams, looking at matchups, looking at the NFL draft. You can catch us on Move the Sticks, NFL.com/podcast, as well as iTunes.
Yes, welcome to the Dave Damashek football program, as always presented by McDonald's. Go get some of those delicious chicken McNuggets, 100% all white meat, no artificial colors or preservatives. We have much to get to on today's DDFP, a little college football preview, dead or alive. We want to figure out some fantasy stuff. I just had my big draft the other day, and we want to figure out what's going to happen in the NFC in the wild card situation with Teddy Bridgewater's terrible injury. But first, let's get to the hurry up, and we have a special guest joining Matt Harmon, Handsome Hank, and me here in Studio 66 on Skype. Is he our all-time favorite football playing guest?
I mean, he's my number one. It's strange that you'd have to ask that question.
I don't know. There are some other keen candidates out there.
There are, but it's embarrassing for you to have that conversation in front of him.
That's true. Yeah, let's pretend it didn't happen. Number 50, you can, of course, Ohio State fans, Green Bay Packers fans, Cincy Bungles fans, and fans of podcasts because he has the Hawk cast. It's A.J. Hawk. What's going down, fella?
Not much, man. It's good to be here. It's good to be here with the whole crew. I love your guys' setup over there.
Yeah, well, listen, we love it's all the better when you join us. So let's jump into it here, Hawk. We'll say proper hellos in just a minute, but this is the hurry up after all. I start with you. Which current backup QB should the Vikings go after? Chase Daniel, A.J. McCarron, Geno Smith? How say you?
I mean, I would think that the number one candidate would be A.J. McCarron. That dude has proven that he can start in the NFL, I think. I don't think the Bengals are going to let him go for anything cheap, so that's probably off the table there. But I like Chase Daniel, man. I think he's a player. I think he's a guy that when he has gotten in the game and played, he plays well and he has experience, so why not? Give it a shot.
Handsome Hank.
I agree with Hawk. I would, if I had the choice to trade for, I would go with A.J. McCarron, but I might also wait until, like, Sunday or Monday of next week and see if Geno Smith is just out there for me to be able to pick up, because that's a possibility with the four quarterbacks they have on the Jets roster.
I know it's loco, but I think Geno Smith still has a chance.
I think maybe I would agree. I just don't know that the chances it is with the Jets.
Yeah. Harmon, how say you?
I don't think the Bengals are going to let McCarron go because they just drafted him, and it's nice to have backup insurance like they saw last year when Dalton went down. I don't think the Eagles are ready to give up Daniel either. They gave him pretty substantial money to be their backup. So, to me, I think Geno Smith, of all these three guys, is the most logical candidate, and I don't really know that the Jets know what they're doing with the quarterback position right now. They didn't play Hackenberg in the preseason. Petty's there, but I'm with you. I still think Geno.
I like Petty ultimately, but you couldn't drop him onto a playoff-ready team like the Vikings.
Right.
And throw him in there. I think that if Carson Wentz hadn't broken that rib, I bet Sam Bradford would be on the move right now. Why wouldn't the Eagles just want to purge the whole Sam Bradford situation and turn things over to the kid sooner rather than later? Next up, should the LSU or Wisconsin players, that's a big college football weekend upcoming here, they're playing in Lambeau. If they score a touchdown, Hawk, is it okay and should they do the Lambeau leap? They'll get penalized for doing it.
I think the Wisconsin guys should 100% do the Lambeau leap. LSU guys, no, unless you want to be like the, was it T.O. who used to jump in the stands and guys used to every once in a while try to do that and the fans would kind of push them back and pour a beer on their head. If I was the Badgers, I would jump in and take the penalty.
I like that. Yeah, that's of course. It's your one chance in life, maybe. I mean, I guess if you have a NFL future, maybe you'll get another shot at it. But it's highly unlikely you're going to wind up on the Green Bay Packers as an NFLer scoring TDs. Right, Handsome?
I mean, yeah, absolutely. I would definitely do it. How many Lambeau leaps did Hawk do?
I've done multiple when I was with my family taking a tour of the stadium with some friends, but I've never zero in-game action, man. None. It's unfortunate.
I encouraged Hawk a couple of years ago that should he ever pick off a pass and run it into the end zone, he not only does the Lambeau leap, but he takes it to a new level. He grabs a beer of a nearby Packers fan, chugs it, and then he gets out of the seats. That would be legendary, Hawk. You'd get fined, but so what?
Oh, who cares about the fine? That's that. I thought about doing that on some of my interceptions that I didn't score with. I I got to pick off Brett Favre once when he was with the Vikings, and I returned it, and I was like at the 50 on the sideline, and I thought about running all the way down to the end zone and jumping into the stands right there, because I remembered Sheck telling me a long time ago, man, you got to get in there and grab a beer.
Grab a beer.
Now I'm angry that that didn't happen, Hawk. Now we can't go back in time. Harmon, how say you?
I mean, yeah, I think you got to take the jump. Like you said, you don't want to live the rest of your life with the regret that you had the chance to do it and you didn't get to do it.
Next up, who looks – you know, Hawk has a handsome new hairdo. Or not that new, but, you know, we've discussed that at great length. Clay Matthews, Johnny Come Lately. Oh, look at me with my long flaxen hair. I'm like Thor. Yeah, except that Hawk beat you to it by like 2 or 3 years, Clay Matthews.
That's a good point.
And so he went – so Hawk's not going to be like hanging on to it. He's like, fine, you have the hair thing. I'm going to shed my locks and go with a new look. Now it seems like Tom Brady is going after the Hawk look. Let's see who looks best with Tom Brady's new haircut here in the studio. Who do you want to go with first here, MVP? Oh, there's Damashek with it. Yeah, it's very like A.J. McCarron as a junior at Bama, kind of like that swoopy hairdo. I look handsome with anything. You know, that's kind of the well, let's give everybody a shot here. Next up. There's handsome Hank with it.
That's a weird picture of me generally. But
by the way, if you aren't seeing this because you're consuming via the audio, we appreciate you hanging with us here. But go to NFL.com/podcasts and you can take a look at this. Harmon, next. I think this is going to go great with your beard.
Oh, wow.
God. Hard
that's
to get
really
Hank.
Good.
That actually kind of works.
Yeah, it does. It looks best on you. If you were, you look like a doctor.
Well, it matches like the beard and the hair color. Because with Shex, it looks so weird. Because he has the dark, dark beard and then the light hair that looks.
Well, now your
just
current hairdo looks like Eric Trump's.
What?
Yeah,
that's slanderous.
Well, it does. Do we have one of Hawk? And there's a.
Oh,
that kind of works too.
That kind of works. Yeah.
I mean, yeah, it's a little bit like excellent. Spider-Man number 3, the one when he like swoops the hair over, that terrible movie.
That's right. That kind of looks into like Venom. That.
Yeah,
right.
A little bit.
I think what we learned here is that you know, you can put any frame you want when you have a masterpiece
right
in the middle like Damashek does. You put whatever garish.
Was anybody but you on. Really impressed with how the hair looked on you?
Let's start the show. Yes, hi and hello and welcome to the DDFP once again and as always sponsored by McDonald's. I mentioned those Chicken McNuggets. Go get you some of those. They're a delicious treat to have at a tailgate party. And, you know, as we jump in on a little college football here, Hawk, have you ever tailgated?
Yes, I have. During a bye week years ago, I went and tailgated and did not even go into the game. I sat on a bus and watched it on TV from about 300 yards away.
That's a lot of fun. Is that what are you? Did that make you envious of how everybody else gets to spend game day?
Very much so. I learned that when I was in college. I might have even said this on your podcast before, but we stayed at a hotel right in the heart of campus, like right. It's called the Blackwell Inn, and we'd wake up and open your blinds at 7 a.m. and there would already be 100,000 people outside in the streets tailgating, and we'd be like, man, these people are – this is no joke. And it might be a night game, and they're there 10, 12 hours early. So I always thought, like, if I can get a chance, I want to try to tailgate one of these times. And I did it right. I went and mooched off one of my friends, and they had, like, a sweet little tour bus type deal, and I hung out, and they all were going to the game, and they left. And my buddy Doug Daddish, who I played with at Ohio State, we sent our tickets with them. We said, you guys are good. We're going to watch it right from here. And we hunkered down and had a great time.
Hawk, there's a chance, of course, that an NFL team will call. Have you kept yourself nice and fit, or are you intent on being in Columbus for whatever it is, 6 game days and maybe even traveling around Big Ten country a little bit?
I mean, I'm not officially retired or anything, but I will always stay in shape, Damashek. I mean, I'm almost offended by that question. I'm going to work out forever.
Retracted.
Yeah, well, I know. I understand. If you can see, I'm wearing this Youngstown Fire Department shirt just in honor of you, because that's pretty close to your town of Pittsburgh.
And hour
I know
plus,
how much
hour.
Pride you have.
Yeah, maybe 90 yeah. minutes from Pittsburgh, PA.
Yeah, a lot of the Youngstown guys that I'm friends with are all Penguins fans, Pirates, Steelers, and all that. So I did this to honor you. But, of course, yeah, I will always physically be ready to play. Even when I'm 50, I mean, my body won't work, but I will physically maybe hopefully look like I could play.
Best game day atmosphere that you experienced in college or in pro? I mean, does Lambeau rival, you know, Ann Arbor on a rivalry Saturday?
Well, if anyone people can lie to you and tell you that Ann Arbor is one of the greatest places to play. And sure, there's 105,000, 110,000 people there. But for whatever reason, how the field is like dug in. I don't know if you guys have been to a game there.
I've been to a couple, and I know exactly what you're going to say.
Yeah, so like you get in there and you expect, okay, 110,000, this is going to be crazy. But the people are so spread out, and the stands like go, they're so, it's so wide that it doesn't feel like 110. And I was 1-1 in the shoe, but when we got there, we were kind of underwhelmed, I think, just at the sheer magnitude of it. If you go to like Penn State, it's straight up like an erector set, like how it's built, so it gets really loud. But I would say the best college atmosphere other than playing at the shoe was Camp Randall. When you played against Wisconsin, man, we had a night game there my freshman year, and it was nuts. They do the whole jump around thing where the whole stadium goes crazy between the third and fourth quarter. So that is by far one of the best college atmospheres you could ever play in.
Yeah, I've heard that one thrown around. I've heard some Virginia Tech. I've never been close to a game over there. And I've seen a lot of Big Ten schools. Ann Arbor's a nice town, but I'm completely with you. Somehow the sound escapes there. It does not feel as intense as you would think 100,000+ people would be. To me, the loudest joints I've ever been in are, I guess, you know what? There's really not really a close second to what I experienced up at the Clink.
Yeah, Seattle, they did it right. They built it straight up. The sound like bounces off each other. I know, what is it, Paul Allen owns the place. He's a pretty he owns the team. I don't know about the stadium. It's a pretty it's legit. They put some thought into that. And if you see on the scoreboard, they'll say how many false starts they've had in delay of games. I guess the fans have caused throughout the season. So that definitely kind of creeps into guys' heads, I think, once they're there.
Have you ever played at a place where you know, even if it's not been admitted, that they're pumping sound in there?
I don't know if we – I mean, I think the old Minnesota play, the old dome right. In Minnesota, they claimed that they were – I think they might have got busted for pumping sound
in
there.
Yeah, I just wonder if it's obvious to you on the field that, wait a second, this noise is definitely not coming from these fans.
I think a few times, yeah, we've talked about it in the locker room after the game, right. Realizing like, man, there's something was going on there. They definitely had to be pumping some sound in, which I don't care. I don't think that sure. Should be illegal. That's fine with me. They should add it to the home field advantage.
Uh-huh. Mm-hmm. Let's jump in then full on to college football. And I start with this one more for you directly, Hawk. Is Jim Harbaugh, because you have a lot of reasons, you know, his Niners beat you guys in the playoffs, and, you know, now he's the Michigan head coach. Is he your least favorite guy in football?
No, he's definitely not. I mean, obviously, we all know he seems to be a bit crazy, which is great for college football. It's great for the rivalry between Ohio State and Michigan. But I wouldn't say I don't hate him or anything. I think I just like characters, and I think he owns who he is, whatever that may be, whatever he may be thinking throughout the day. But I think he's a great college coach, how that works. And obviously he proved that he could do it in the NFL. But he came back. I feel like he's home now and he feels comfortable and he can settle in and be himself. And I think the players seem to have bought in. I know everyone's already pubbing Michigan to be the national champs this year. I don't think that's going to happen this year. But who knows, man? He's got him on the right track. But I still think they're going to have a tough time with the Bucks.
That's exactly right. Hawk and I park our cars in the same garage. You want some WWE in your football.
Yes.
You
right.
Want people to loom as actual rivalries who you actually don't like. This business of NFLers trading jerseys in preseason games after the thing. What are we doing here? What's become of our society?
Well, there aren't any rivalry games played in the preseason.
I don't care.
I
don't
point,
want. I don't need. They don't need to happening. Be doing that. You want to do that in the bowels of the stadium? Don't do that. I've generated a lot of animus over the years towards these teams. I don't need to see you glad handing with the foes out there.
I don't even care about that. Just as long as you have personality, just be interesting. The people that are just kind of the same old responses in press conferences and all that. That's enough of that. We need more people with interesting storylines.
Yes, I hear that noise. All right, hey. Sully behind the glass there, Hawk. College football, I know, technically is already underway. Cal played.
That doesn't count. Yeah, it doesn't count. It was in Australia. It wasn't even on the continental United States. Get that out of here.
I think it counts on the record.
Wait, it does count on the records, but it's also Cal in Hawaii. Who cares?
All right. Yeah. Sully is wearing an orange golf shirt today with a T over his left bosom. To celebrate his loyalty and his excitement for the 2016 Vols season. And that's just the tip of the iceberg. You got Oklahoma and Houston this weekend.
Right.
That's a dandy. LSU, Wisconsin, like we mentioned. Bama and USC down in Texas. Clemson and Auburn. The Irish and the Longhorns. You have Ole Miss and Florida State. UCLA
smorgasbord
and A&M.
Yeah, of it's a, incredible. I mean, it's the best opening weekend in college football history.
Harmon, what's the one game you're looking for? You can only watch one. Which is the one?
I mean, it's kind of chalky to say Bama and USC, but I just want to watch it because of the tears that will flow through this office when Bama does, in fact, beat USC. You've got some people that are realistic about it, like Marcus Grant, who works on the fantasy teams, like, yeah, I'm ready to just drink a few beers and watch him get
And then you have MJD, who's actually picking USC.
Well, I mean,
and
that
he went
just
to UCLA. What is up with
you
that?
You said MJD, and that's exactly what.
Yeah. Okay. Okay.
Handsome.
I think for the same reason, but also because I'm interested in their quarterback, UCLA against Texas A&M. I think Joshua, he's fun to watch.
Yeah.
And he also talks a bunch of smack to A&M.
He does. That's why I like.
Once
him.
You get over 50,000, it's the same. No.
Sully, am I allowed to speak?
Yes.
Thanks, man.
Sorry.
So I'm looking forward to
do
that.
They play college football in England.
Yes, they do.
Okay.
Yeah.
We're just checking.
All right. But can you turn his mic off, Emma?
Okay.
No, I just think that'll be a fun game.
Well, you know, you mentioned Bama and SC. The thing that Willie McGinnis said to me, I asked him, how are your boys going to do against mighty Bama? Mm-hmm. And he said, I don't know what to expect there. And I said, well, the Bama thing is generally the nature of their game is they keep it fairly close, but then they just overwhelm you physically. Right. And by in the fourth quarter, they pull away. And he said, oh, but Lane Kiffin is going to have something to say about that. He definitely wants to whip
revenge
SC.
Game.
And I thought, that could be fun. They might really put it on put it on SC there. Hawk, how say you on this?
I like what you're going with the USC Bama. And I didn't even think about the Lane Kiffin angle until right now. That's
yeah.
If Saban doesn't pull back the reins, I mean, Lane's going to try to score 100 points. I don't think he will. But once they, like you said, they can physically start to outlast them. And it's true, man. Bama has three deep all going to the league. These guys, you know, if you're a running back, you better start as a freshman. You better have two solid years. Maybe a redshirt year, two solid years, and then you're going to the NFL because you have these young guys behind you going to take your gig. And that's how Bama seems to always have been. I like Nick Saban. I know he's not a high personality guy, I guess, as we would say. But I think I love his disdain for the media and his press conferences. I just think that's just fun to watch. I can't imagine being a media member in one of his press conferences and trying to ask a question. Like, I think that might be the most nervous I would ever be in my life.
I'm trying to think. I don't know why I can't place. It must have been Tressel for all your time there, right? That was the
yes,
whole.
Yes, it was.
I've said this a million times. If I were a 5-star kid, I wouldn't go to Ohio State or Bama or SC because then you're one of the great linebackers in Ohio State history. So there's something to be said for putting your name in that group of great defensive players that the Buckeyes have provided. Football over the years, but to me, I'd rather be like Archie Manning and go to a place that has no history where you for all of time are the greatest ever. Like you're the old, you see who's here? Like Eric Dickerson, if he goes to SMU, there's not a close second. Eric Dickerson is the king of SMU. Don't you see that, Hawk?
I understand what you're saying there. I mean, you might be onto something. You should probably sell that to these young recruits and just go. If you were coaching at SMU or something, you could go talk to these 5-star kids and tell them, present that to them and let them know, hey, right. Forever and ever, when you come back here, you will be really the only great player we've ever had.
Yeah, you'll never, ever have to buy a drink or a meal in this town.
You may go 2-10 every year that you're here, but still. But I mean, you know, Dak Prescott now, I mean, that's kind of the situation he's going to be in with any success in the NFL. So, all right, let's and by the way, you know what, Hawk, you remind me. I've said this a million times, but now to veer – not off of just the NFL into college football, but now into college basketball. Here's what makes my head spin. If I were in Chicago or New York, these are the two cities that yield the most college basketball level NBA talent anywhere on the face of the earth. And yet neither one of those towns has a high-end college basketball program. Why doesn't a Chicago native just say that DePaul should hire a Chicago guy, a high-profile guy? And he says, I'm only recruiting the city. I'm not going to go 40 miles outside of Chicago. But if you don't go to Chicago, if you don't come to DePaul, you're a traitor to your city. Shame the devil. I'm going to win the national championship only with Chicago players. And if you betray me, you betray your city. And
delay
not,
a game.
Don't you delay a game, me.
It's football season, Sheck. I'm sick of talking about basketball. Let's go.
You're right. You're right. Okay, fair enough. Fair enough. I'll move on. But you agree with that, right, Hawk?
Yeah, I would hire Horace Grant.
Let him come in. Exactly right.
Hire Horace Grant and have Scottie Pippen be his number one assistant, maybe Bill Wennington, the third assistant, and guilt these Chicago kids into coming to DePaul.
You get where I'm coming from there, Hawk. That's exactly right. And Ho Grant has to wear the glasses the whole time he's coaching, too. All right, Hawk, I start with you here. Let's go around the table and just give a the broad strokes of what the college football will see or will be or where it will end. Tell me who you got in the Final Four.
Oh, my gosh. I wish I would have I should have prepared some notes for this.
All right. I'll start with Harmon. You can
I want to go.
I'm not prepared either.
No, Hawk says he's ready.
I'm going. I'm ready. So, I would – obviously, we all know I'm an Ohio State homer, but until they get knocked off their high horse, I'm putting Ohio State in the playoff. Why not? Two, I'm going to go with Clemson, mainly because I want to see Dabo Sweeney dance in the locker room. I want to see those Vine clips that they show after the games. And I love his energy. You talk about some personality. If I was a high school kid and Dabo came into my living room, I'd probably have a hard time not committing right there if he offered me a scholarship. And then I'm going to go – I mean, this is pretty vanilla. I like Bama. Just, like I said, I'm a huge fan of Nick Saban. He knows how to recruit studs, and they have him. And then my fourth, I'm going to throw a wild card at you, and I'm going – Texas Tech, because I love Cliff Kingsbury.
What? Texas Tech.
They're going to score 9,000 points this year, and they don't need to stop anybody.
Sully, you want to jump in here?
Yeah. Sully's my – what do they call it in Game of Thrones?
Your Sparrow? Champion or whatever they call
it. Sponsor? Okay. Yeah. Okay, I like where this is at. I got to start at number four, Ohio State, the Bucks. I think they might start out slow, might get tripped up at OU. But you don't want to bet against Urban Meyer down the stretch. Number three, OU. I really like Baker Mayfield. Those guys are talented top to bottom. And number two, your Tennessee Volunteers.
Stoops never gets it done, though. Stoops, to me, is now that
I think they're going to turn the corner.
With Rick. They struggle to turn the corner.
I think they'll get it done this year. At number two, Tennessee. One loss going into the SEC title game against Bama. Knock them off. They're going to the playoffs. Number one, Clemson. Title game, Clemson, Tennessee, all orange, and your Vols take the title.
All right.
Yeah. Might be a homer pick.
No homer pick there. Not at all. Definitely not.
The Vols. Go. You know what, though? I wouldn't be surprised. I mentioned Mark Richt. He's built some program down there, and now he's moved down to the U. But I bet you sort of the Dungy handing things over to John Gruden. In fact, I wouldn't be surprised if all of a sudden Georgia has a different – just shake things up a little bit, change the top guy in the program there, and that might be a difference there.
Yeah, my four, I lead off with number one, Alabama. I've already been on record on my podcast, The College Football Experience, saying
– I made an appearance on that show.
You've been invited.
That's right.
Wow.
Next week maybe with a little Pitt Penn State as well.
Oh, yeah.
So Alabama's going to win every game this year. I'm not picking against Bama once. My number two seed, Florida State, sadly, even though I'm a Miami grad, I think they run the table in the regular season and then lose to Hawks, Ohio State, Buckeyes in the semis. I have Ohio State 3. And then number four, Clemson kind of sneaks in at 4. It's maybe controversial because they don't have a lot of good wins. They get in. They lose to Alabama again. And then this time, Alabama beats Urban Meyer. Nick Saban lost to him 2 years ago. He beats Urban Meyer for the title. Alabama wins the national championship this time around. 5 and 8 years.
Boo. So far outside of the Tennessee. Well, the Texas Tech one was pretty good. Harmon, you want to weigh in?
Harmon?
I'm not Harmon.
Oh, okay.
My sponsor's done me, although I don't agree with anything he said, but that's fine.
Yeah, I think for the Final Four, I think Clemson will be in there. I certainly think Ohio State will be in there as well, and Alabama. For my wild card pick, I'm going to agree with Sully and talk about Oklahoma because I think that they are a very good team. I like Baker Mayfield, too, when I was looking at Sterling Shepard for reception perception last year. I thought that quarterback played really well, and they have some other good players there as well. So I think that that's a kind of a sleeper.
Oh, they got some nice runners down there.
Yeah, they're running back. Perrine, is it? He's really good.
I think Oklahoma might lose this weekend, by the way, to Houston. And check, you brought it up, a 5-star kid from Houston, number one defensive end in high school football last year, stayed home, went to Houston. He didn't go to any of the Big 12 schools. He stayed and went to a lower-tier school. Ed Oliver, he's going to be a beast.
Mm. See, I dig that. See, that's the right way to go. Hawk, give me a name for your – who's your Heisman pick here?
My Heisman pick would have to be, man, you're putting me on the spot. I like Baker Mayfield.
Do you? Wow.
I love him. I love Deshaun Watson. He's going to be a stud. We know that. But he has all that hype coming in, man. When you come in with that crazy hype, it's hard to follow through on a 11, 12-game regular season, everything you're facing. I just feel like because if he has one 3 and out, it's like everyone's, oh, he's off the Heisman train. What's going on? You can't figure it out. Baker Mayfield, a little bit under the radar, seems to be a guy that the team rallies around for sure. And when you have that kind of he seems to have that moxie that we need, and I like that. So I think he's going to get it done.
You and I have talked a lot, Hawk, about the human element, and as much as professionals try to pretend that there is no human element, oh, you just go out, you're a pro, you got to take it, you shut out all the outside noise and all that. It's got to be even tougher if you're a 19 or 20-year-old kid. What happens if you're a powerhouse team like Ohio State and your goal is a national championship and then you lose in September? How do you get up for the rest of the game? I always wonder, once we have two losses and it's mid-October, why even show up for the rest of the season?
It's true, man. That's very tough. My senior year, Texas, with Vince Young, came into the Shoe and they beat us in September. And we had that exact same feeling. We're like, oh, my gosh, this senior year, our whole class was just devastated. It is. I don't know. It's something you have to find a way to get through. And you have to hope to win the rest of your games and squeak in there and get into the playoffs now. So you still kind of have a chance. You can lose one. If you're going to lose, you need to lose early. Don't lose two, like you said. But lose early and then just stay a little bit under the radar, get into the playoffs, and run the table.
Yeah, because I just was reading about Dabo Sweeney and his pitch to Watson and company is this is our year. We wash off all the early 80s Clemson stuff, and this is now going to live as the greatest moment in Clemson football history and all that. But, yeah, what if they lose this week? It's kind of like, yeah, forget about that, but let's go to the Liberty Bowl still, you know?
That's true. It's a brutal thing to deal with, and I think it's tough, especially now, man, with these young guys come in and they have all of – they're just like the social media thing. I'm not trying to sound like the old crusty guy, but they're just more aware of what's going on around them and outside of that locker room. When I was in college, I don't think we were very aware of what was going on. We weren't aware of how big of a deal it was, everything that was going on with the boosters, how many people really counted on us winning. And so now you can't really ignore it, and especially as a kid that grew up with that, whew, that's a lot to put on a guy, especially like a Deshaun Watson. He seems to be pretty competent, and he can shut it out, but it's true. You have to hear that, and, man, you need to have a fast start for sure. I think it's going to be a long road.
A.J. Hawk, man, he's going to be – well, if he plays a season, if he plays some pro football this year, he'll be grand again. Or I hope that he'll be kibitzing with us and on the Hawkcast all year about college football. He is on the rise. I have a history. You know, Handsome, I have a track record of calling who's going to be a star. I said Ike Taylor. I said Maurice Jones-Drew. I said Handsome Hank. I said Matt Harmon. I say A.J. Hawk.
You're a star maker, Dave.
That's what I do, yeah. Hawk. But before you go, let's transition back to pro football here. So the college team in orange, let's give way to the orange team in the NFL, namely the Cincinnati Bengals. You know what I think. I think Andy Dalton, talk about the human element, I don't think he's one of these guys who enjoys pressure. I don't think he likes the idea that there's going to be some noise in Cincy if there are any early season struggles, that there will be a faction of the fan base and elsewhere that says, put McCarron in. He can do it. Do you agree? Does Andy Dalton thrive this year, or does he suffer with number 10 and the tattoos hidden underneath that number 10 jersey looming over his shoulder?
I think he thrives, man. And I think so just because I've been there. I've seen him handle those situations. And I've seen he doesn't seem to be a guy that's too caught up in everything going on with the football, what's happening on the field, in the locker room, around him. He has a lot going on in his life other than football that I think helps him stay centered, however you guys out in L.A. want to call it, want to say. But
works.
I don't think A.J. is breathing down his neck. Yeah, A.J. has stepped in and played great. I think we all know the preseason games mean nothing, but Andy has stepped in and played well already in the preseason. So as long as he has a good fast start to the season, he'll be all right. And it's not like a thing where you're going in with a two-quarterback system like I know Notre Dame is trying to do, and your first three and out, they're going to boo you and they want to put in the next guy. So it's not at that point. Yeah, it could get to that point sometime down the road, maybe 6-7 games in, but I don't think he even lets that become a thing.
Oh, I think it's going to become a thing, but we'll see, Hawk, and let's kibitz about it as the season goes along. A pleasure to have you with us, though, today, just before the season begins. Give me a fist bump, right fist.
Right. Boom.
Bonk. There we go. AJ Hawk, the official, at official AJ Hawk. Is how you track him down on Twitter and find his great podcast. He talks to football guys and beyond. He talks to all manner of people in who are successes in whatever field they've chosen. And a shout out to Ryan Hawk's podcast. I appeared on that one a couple of weeks ago, and I laid it down. I just told everybody, here's how you do it. Here's Damashek's keys to middling success.
Oh, right. There you go.
Yeah,
you were great. Yeah, the Learning Leader Show, it's called. My brother Ryan. Man, Damashek, you were awesome. I texted you afterwards. I listened to it, and it was very impressive. You weren't just the full-go sarcastic Damashek. We got to really dig down and hear who you really were.
I know. I mean, am I ashamed that I wept 3 or 4 times? No. No. So what?
You're
so
should you be?
I shed a tear. So what? No, that was a great time, and we still got to get the old man on the show, though. That's still the goal. That's the holy grail.
Trust me, Pistol sees everything. So he's listening to this. He's watching. He would love to come on sometime and talk to you.
All right, Hawk. Let's make that so. Oh, Pistol Hawk, Ryan Hawk. Before we know it, AJ Hawk won't even be in my top 3 favorite Hawks anymore. All right, Hawk. Go get him, and we'll kibitz with you soon. Thanks for the time. All right, now let's move on as he departs on the Skype. Now it's time for one of our favorite segments in all the land. Oh, I didn't get you. But before we jump into it, I forgot to get your Heisman pick, Harmon.
I'm going to go Deshaun Watson.
Deshaun Watson. Is there anybody back there want to?
I got one.
Nah, let's not debate that. Let's just get to it. It's time for Dead or Alive.
If your team is playing Damashek, you're saying if you're dead or alive, dead or alive. If your team is dead or alive.
Ooh, I see behind the glass. Uh-oh. I was wondering, like, why am I getting dewy in here? Because it's hot in Studio 66. It's hot, red hot, because Matt Harmon. Oh, I didn't say hello to everybody 20 minutes ago. I got caught up. I get lost in Hawk's eyes. Handsome Hank and Matt Harmon. Matt Harmon, of course, you want to follow him for all your fantasy news. Of course, you want to listen to NFL Fantasy Live, the podcast. You want to watch the show. And I have mentioned it before. I mentioned it again starting on Monday. Fantasy and Friends, I'm going to be kibitzing about fantasy as well on your television. 6 p.m. Eastern, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, and Friday. No Thursday because there's Thursday night football. But Michael Fabiano, Matt Harmon, Adam Rank, Cole Wright, Matt Franciscovich will be available for you on the on your computer because you can watch them on digital on your cell phone. Watch the game with them, and they'll give you fantasy notes to as you go into your fantasy weekend there. So a lot of fantasy talk awaiting. And Michael Fabiano, the aforementioned one, the Hall of Famer even, is on the headset behind the glass. It's a good idea, MVP, to keep Fabiano separated from Matt Harmon.
Oh, it's not like that. It's not like that, brother.
It's not.
This is like a way
in
for the big fight.
I mean, when he tells someone on Twitter that's a mistake to listen to my advice, that pisses me off a little bit. A little bit.
No.
It started.
It's a mistake to listen to you over me. Not to not listen to you, but I'm.
Oh.
Obviously.
Because you've got that Hall of Fame plug.
Oh, I don't need anything about credentials. I'm talking about what's happening now.
People with no credentials say that.
Yeah.
All right. I want to talk about fantasy as it applies to the big fantasy draft I just had. It's an auction league. I used Matt Harmon. He has pushed this more than anybody I know, at least, the so-called zero running back strategy in fantasy. I want to talk about the pros, cons, and what Fabiano and Harmon have really been debating in a public space on NFL.com, if you read their words, and on Twitter and everything else. But with Fabiano joining us as our fourth here as we get into Dead or Alive. Dead or Alive, Tony Romo's career as a starting quarterback in the NFL. Fabiano, the Cowboys fan, I start with you. Dead or alive?
Man, that hurts.
Well, it's a legitimate.
I'm going to go alive unless the Cowboys are looking real good in the NFC East after the 8 games or so that Tony Romo misses. I say he comes back.
Handsome.
Yeah, I mean, I agree. It has to be still alive. What quarterback can you remember that's gone out when they should have gone out? Like, this might feel like the best time for Tony Romo to say, you know what, guys, I just don't think I can do this anymore. But that, in the history of the NFL, recent history in the NFL, doesn't happen very often. I think he probably will start for the Cowboys again. But even if Dak, like, does better than any of us could imagine and plays all 16 games and takes the Cowboys to the postseason, there are enough teams that an injured but rehabbed Tony Romo could go on to next year, and he'd get a starting job probably for another 3 years in the NFL, even if we all believe it's the start or the middle of his decline.
How say you, Harmon?
I'm going to go bold here, and I'm going to say dead. I think it's over. I think that this is the end of Tony Romo's career. You know, like, I can't remember who said it recently, but I just heard somebody say, nobody used to have a back problem. You know, once you have back problems, you have back
yeah,
problems.
That's true.
And that's just the end of it. And while I think we will see him again, I think his time as an effective, regular, every week starting quarterback.
Oh, yeah. Effective is different.
Well, yeah.
Starting.
Right. I think we'll see him again, though.
All right. Let's see what the doctor on call has to say about this important matter. It's alive. It's alive. Yeah, there he is. Tony Romo is going to get back out there. I think the Cowboys are the best situation for him because of that offensive line. That, right. That gives him his best chance of staying clean, and yet he never stays clean. You know, he takes a lot of shots, obviously. Man, I on a human level, it seems like he has had some – it's not like he has a knee, which is bad for being an athlete, but it doesn't really – sounds so on a human level so grim, but I mean he's had like punctured lung and back
right.
And all the just a grisly list now. I might be a good idea, but I do think if I think he'll play again this season at some point, first of all.
Yep.
But if you say Dak Prescott sets the world afire and he's the QB and they never let him back in there, don't be surprised if he winds up on Cincinnati for that same reason, because that's a ready-made playoff team that you could drop him into. And they have a good offensive line. Minnesota must be wondering, well, I wonder if we could get Romo if nobody trades
then,
in the middle of a season.
But not now. I mean, they don't know what they've
got. Not now, but I'm saying if it's like, hey, Dak Prescott's too good. Hey, Cowboys, you want to swing a deal here? We'll take
You're really trying to
I don't know.
Shovel the dirt on Andy Dalton's grave before he's even dead.
Dave has a history of that.
Clearly. Telling you something. All right, next up. Overall interest in Tim Tebow and what's going down with that guy on any given moment. Handsome Hank.
I'm interested. Like overall interest. I definitely don't believe he's got a football career. I don't think he's got a baseball career, but there's something about him. I want to know. I want to keep following, cuz he's going to do all kinds of other things in his life.
Yeah. Harmon.
I can think of very few things I'm interested less in.
Fabiano.
Yeah, I'm right there with you, man. I'd rather go see probably Suicide Squad at this point than even watch anything having to do with Tim Tebow. And I heard that movie was awful.
You didn't see that. I'm surprised.
No, because I like that stuff. You know what? Alex Gallagher said it wasn't really that good. And he's a man with a vast knowledge of movies, so I just...
Is there anything funnier that Tim Tebow, the review from the MLB Scouts was that he didn't have a big league arm from the outfield? That's the best.
That
I've
is
ever
funny.
Heard.
That is good.
He's an NFL QB. Nah, he doesn't have the arm strength to make
it. Well, that was his problem in the NFL.
I know, but it's funny that
Among
even
men.
In baseball that doesn't
he
work.
He should be like a pinch runner. Yeah,
you don't want him
run,
on the
right?
Yanks.
He just should
by
run
the way,
for public
my Yankees,
office.
My Yankees are 2.5 out of the playoffs right now after selling everybody.
All right, settle down.
So I'm a little excited about that.
Settle down.
Okay.
But I will say this, though. I think Adam Carolla, I don't want to steal a joke. I don't know if I said this or he said this, but – it would be a good point that the best sport for Tebow, if he wants to make it in a big-time sport, bobsledding.
Mm.
That'd be a good one for him because he's big and strong and he's fast.
Herschel Walker was the guy who did that as
Herschel
well.
Herschel Walker, yeah.
Yep.
And as I've said before, and I'm going to say again now too, is why do we have the four-man bobsled? Don't we? Do we need the two-man? The one guy pushes it, the other guy steers it. What? Where's the dignity in being like, yeah, I don't want to be on the two-man bobsled. I'll be the third guy. I'll just run. I'll just sit. I'll be
the
along.
Third guy
for the
really
ride.
Does. He's along for the ride.
Damashek could do that. In
Your
fact,
job.
Handsome, you and me, let's go out
let's
for the bobsled.
You team. Know what? The job of the third guy is to go wee. That's all they have to do.
All right, dead or alive? Interest in what Tim Tebow's up to. Yeah, please go away. Enough. Yeah. I don't need you to do this.
There was nothing worse than seeing that picture on our front page of NFL.com. He's not even a football player anymore. I don't care even a little bit.
I get that, but he's not a bad guy. There are a lot of worse people in the world that I'd rather hear less from.
And there are plenty.
Donald Trump or Tim Tebow, who do you want to hear about?
Just shoot me. I don't know.
Yeah, neither one of those is a good option. All right, last up, and it's the main event of Dead or Alive. The zero running back fantasy strategy. Handsome, I'm going to let you weigh in here to start things off.
Okay. I say it's dead, but I'm not saying it specifically about that. I'm saying about fantasy strategy entirely. The strategy should be get the best player that you can get at that moment. I don't think that – I mean, like, that's my strategy. I'm not saying there's anything wrong with that or the opposite of that. I just think that, like, to me, the obvious thing is just grab the player that's best – in that spot. I don't need a strategy.
I'm trying to figure out how best to approach these next 5 minutes of our lives here.
Right.
Because I just did my big auction draft.
How did it
in
go?
Los
did
Angeles.
You get booted out?
This is the league that has achieved some legend, it feels like, in the digital world at least. This is the one with sports guy Bill Simmons and Sal from the Kimmel Show and Don Draper and so on. You know, it's a, you know, some...
some real celebrities
alongside you. Among, you know, yeah. Sporty.
A lot of humble brag there.
That's not a humble brag at all. This is not humble.
Yeah, that's true.
Just call it a brag.
It's just a brag.
I don't know what it is.
What MVP? Weigh in. How does that strike your ear? You're a young woman. Do you think like Dave? Well, boy, he sounds like he's trying to impress. You know, is that what it comes off like?
A little bit, Dave.
Thank you. I'm telling you who's in the league and people know about it.
Thank you, Emma.
Simmons and Sal are on the Simmons podcast telling tales about Damashek and the lunatic Randy disparaging me because I interrupted his brilliant analysis of the night of.
Let's hear more about John Hamm's team.
Oh, he's a dreamboat. Let me tell you something. Oh, he's a real dreamboat.
He's very handsome.
You got that right.
John Hamm. All right, so anyway, we had our draft, and it's a kickout league. I got kicked out last year by Sal.
It was fantastic.
Yeah, it was very clever how he did it. It was like a Survivor-style like puzzle, and two guys were competing, you thought, to save themselves. And then when the puzzles were completed, it spelled Aloha Damashek, or Bon Voyage Damashek, see, in 2016.
Yeah.
So I survived it. This year, the Dutch Mook was kicked out of the league by the aforementioned Randy. But so I went on Harmon's advice and Matt Franciscovich's, and against Michael Fabiano's, I went, even in my auction, I went zero running back strategy. Real quick, Harmon, explain what that means.
So zero running back is a strategy that Sean Siegel, who writes for RotoViz, came up with in 2013. After using it to some success in the 2013 season. He published the article in 2014. Essentially what it is for at least the first five rounds, you just completely punt on the running back position. You load up on mostly wide receivers. Also, you can mix in quarterbacks and tight ends, although I don't particularly tend to mix in the quarterback, in those first four rounds. Again, in the high leverage rounds, you're targeting wide receivers over the running back position.
Hey,
and
Dave, can I make a point real quick?
Yes, you can,
though?
Yes.
So I've actually talked to Sean. And in one of his big wins in 2013, his first round pick was Jamaal Charles and his fifth round pick was Le'Veon Bell. So he didn't even follow that.
I don't think that's as much as like a gotcha moment that Fabiano thinks it is.
But
I understand.
But I know in the high stakes community, people are like, why is, and I'm sure Sean is awesome and knowledgeable and great, but he's well known for winning this one league where he didn't even use the strategy that people sort of tag him to. So, and I know he's used it, but you also have to remember, these are ridiculously competitive leagues where you start three wide receivers and two flex, and it's PPR. That's not my audience. Honestly, it's not NFL.com's audience.
Those are important qualifiers that those leagues do favor the wide receiver position because
you
start five of them. They're PPR leagues. That is an important difference. Though I think there's still some utility to maybe not going full zero running back in like a 10-team standard. You know,
right, because you shouldn't because it's not good.
Well, that is ridiculous to just
it's
say
not
it's not good.
Good.
Sounds to
it's
me like Harmon's walking back from this already.
It's not good.
Wait a minute.
Hang on.
No, you wait a minute.
Wait a minute.
I have something
this
to
is your
say because
Harmon
convinced me to do the zero running back strategy in a 10-team league. Now I've done it. Now you're saying like, well, I wouldn't do it in a 10-team
league. No, I didn't say it. No, I didn't say I wouldn't do it. I said that there is more reason to do it in a league like that, but it can absolutely still be successful.
Anything can be successful, just
right.
Like Henry said.
But so then why are you saying it's not good
also
if anything can be successful?
Because in the 10-team standard leagues where you're not getting points for catches, running backs are valuable.
Of
especially
course.
So why avoid the position in the first five rounds? In our PPR mock, Matt Harmon took two running backs in his first five picks, including David Johnson with the first-round pick, which is a great pick, but it's not zero RB.
You're not going zero RB in every draft. You shouldn't.
Look at this. I love it.
Come on.
No,
You haven't said one thing positive yet about it.
I want a mic drop right now. I'm done. I don't need to say anything
yet.
Else.
We're not done yet.
Why are you – what are you talking about?
I can mic drop right now. The man
show me.
Strategy.
Show it. Well, for one, it's not my strategy.
What?
Two,
Sean doesn't use it all the time.
Tell me where anyone has ever said you should use it in every single draft, including me. Can you show me where I've said
that? But in your article, you don't say PPR. You don't say that Sean Siegel invented this strategy for high-stakes leagues that start three wide receivers, two flex, and it's PPR. You don't say that anywhere. And you have
right.
to understand your audience. Standard leagues are what we have here at NFL.com. It's a high percentage of what people play here. It's not your audience. It's not my audience. So to say that and not qualify it with this is for PPR, three wide receiver, two flex, where you could start five wide receivers, you're not doing yourself justice, and you're not giving the people out there all the information. That's all I'm saying.
Someone get Fabs' yellow jacket.
Can I go?
He needs the jacket.
I was ready to say that this was Moneyball. Harmon was Moneyball. And Fabiano was Art Howe defending the old school way.
Listen,
versus
man.
Newfangled things. But you know what? Handsome said it. There's a gold jacket.
No, there's a gold jacket. Let me reply.
I want to see it with the jacket.
Hold on. Okay, Harmon, go ahead and reply.
Let me reply. The only thing, my point in the entire article was that the wide receiver position is more important than the running back position
nope.
right now. Fabs, let me talk.
Go ahead.
This is better than the political analyst going at the Trump
supporters. A lot better.
Same center. No, I let you talk. Now it's my turn.
Right.
It's like CNN. Yeah, exactly.
You've had your chance. Let me speak.
I don't know if I need to say anything else, honestly. Go ahead.
Right now, the running back position has been trending down for the last several years. It is not a reaction to what happened in 2015, which was, admittedly, a cataclysmic year for the running back position. Top 24 running backs have been trending down every single year since 2006. Wide receivers are becoming more consistent scorers, even in standard leagues. And there's just – they score more points. I mean, what do you want?
No, they don't.
That's what it's all about.
They don't
Top
score
24
more points.
Receivers are trending up in terms of scoring. Running backs are
who
trending
Who averaged
down.
More fantasy points per game last year?
No. See, this is what Fabs
Antonio
does.
Brown.
Fabs tries to take a one-to-one comparison and
Wait a
think
minute.
That means something.
No, I can go more than one-to-one.
We are talking about the
entire
group.
But you didn't answer the question. Did Freeman average more points than Brown last year?
Because it's not irrelevant. Because it's not a relevant question. Aren't you down?
Wait,
aren't you down?
About
aren't,
points.
Aren't you down?
I'm
on, aren't you down
year.
On Devonta Freeman?
Yeah, and I would draft Antonio Brown before him. No question
right,
about that.
Of course.
I never said wide receivers weren't trending upward. They absolutely are. You'd have to be a jackass not to see that.
So why would you
call him a jackass?
But the bottom line is that running backs are still extremely valuable.
Nobody is arguing that.
Young running backs who could be great this year, including two behind you, and David Johnson and Todd Gurley. And when you talk about a strategy and then don't use it, I'm sorry, but I lose respect. The credibility's gone.
He doesn't respect you.
Okay, but what did I do? What did
I for zero RB? That's what I'm saying.
What did I do in our Periscope mock draft? I went a zero RB team there. So there's another
gotcha moment. But wait a minute. But in our other PPR league, your first round pick was a running back, and I think your third or fourth round pick was a running back, which is not zero RB. I live and die by what I say. I go running backs and wide receivers probably – for the first five rounds.
But who's
sure.
paying for the wall?
And
that's
I'm,
what
and
talking
I'm,
about.
And I'm
I
flexible.
Practice what I preach.
And I'm flexible. I don't.
He
just
says
know.
You're inflexible, Fabs.
I'm flexible. I'm not married to this running back wide receiver.
Wait a second. Let's
I am less flexible in my 40s now. I can
anecdotally, at least. So we did our 10-team auction. Yep. I talked to the Fantasy Stronghold.
I want to see. Who did you get? Like,
I'm going to show you right now. I talked to Harmon, his bearded hipster pal, Franciscovich, Gelhart, and Marcus Grant. They all advocated, all right, let's see if you can do this. The important thing that they told me about auction, and as I always say, auction draft is fantasy football for grown-ups. It's much more difficult than the snake draft. I love that, but that's a sidebar. But I went in, and the important thing Harmon said was, what you're looking to do is the instinct when you're doing an auction is to keep enough money so that you have balance top to bottom. But, of course, that's not what you want. What you need in fantasy, you need difference-making stars. So, Fabiano, to answer your question, reveal it. The Cool Cats spelled with two Ks in my 10-team league auction style. 4 minutes in, Fabiano, to the night. Mm-hmm. It's a long night. 4 minutes in. I had spent $60 on Antonio Brown, $50 mm-hmm. on Odell Beckham, and then I went and got Sammy Watkins. Those are my three wide receivers.
No, very good, and I'll give you an example. I was just – and now I'm going to name drop so you guys can make fun of me. I was just in the Allison Chains and Friends draft, which is a half-point PPR.
That only counts as a name drop in 1990.
You,
but all right.
What are you talking about,
true. Nobody,
man?
No one listening to this podcast.
Okay, Duff McKagan was there too, so how about that, all right?
Yeah,
Guns N' Roses.
Same.
I don't care. That's my music. But three of my first four picks were wide receivers, but it wasn't zero RB because David Johnson was my first pick, and you have three very good receivers there. Three.
Listen,
zero RB says no running backs. For the I'm sorry.
We're talking Cats football now. It's time to talk Cool Cats football 2016.
I like your team.
How good is that team?
Is it
Let's
PPR?
Put it back up.
I know. I can't see it right now. I need
it's
to put it back
PPR.
Up. It's not PPR.
My QB, I got Drew Brees, and then I got Tyrod Taylor on the cheap. I didn't spend a lot for either guy. 13 for Brees, $200 cap.
Why did you
13
pick up
for
oh, the Steelers defense, of course. Steelers defense.
Well, I'd like that.
Okay,
no,
so
still,
no,
you're wide. Like my team. I want something to read.
Your wide receivers are very good. You need help at running back.
But
you
they're
need,
not. But
you
but,
need Carlos Hyde to be the breakout candidate. A lot right. of people think he is.
Duke Johnson, Danny Woodhead.
He's a good sleeper.
Kristen Michael, Chris Ivory are my five runners. Yeah, mm-hmm. I start two.
But here's the thing. You're going to start Hyde every week, but then you're probably going to be like, boy, who the heck do I start between Duke and Woodhead unless one of these guys breaks out? I like your wide receivers. And, again, I'm not adverse to drafting wide receiver-heavy teams if the scoring system is basically pointed in that direction.
But
I am not going with no running backs in my first five picks.
Do you think that my team in a 10-team league is successful? Because my receivers are not merely good. I have the two best wide receivers, you would think, unless Julio Jones somehow disrupts
sure.
that.
Sure.
Brown and Odell, and then Sammy Watkins, who is potentially a top four or five guy this year, too.
Yeah.
I mean, I'm so loaded at receiver that it nullifies. As long as Hyde and company don't zero me every week, I'm going to be in. Shouldn't I win most of the. Legitimately.
You've got to hope like Sammy Watkins doesn't turn into Mike Evans. And I like the wide receivers, and you're going to be competitive.
I want you to love them.
I'm sorry. No,
I love them.
How can you not love those first two wide receivers?
Yeah. All right, well, ridiculous. Then say love. Don't say like.
How can you not love those two first wide receivers? But I think you might be scrambling at running back, which is why I don't use that zero running back strategy because
I think you might.
I want balance. I want balance on my team.
Let me get one last point in here.
All right.
And I think Fabiano has said a lot of interesting things about this entire
– Truth things.
I think that your team can be successful because of all those running backs like Danny Woodhead, Duke Johnson. Those guys are pass catchers. You know when those teams are going to get into pass-heavy game scripts based on whether they're playing a team that might beat them. And a guy like Chris Ivory, when the Jags are predicted to be – in a game and more competitive, that's when they're going to give him maybe 20 rushes. So you're playing, you know, a musical game, a game of musical chairs with the running back position, but that's what being a good fantasy player is all about. It's about winning on a week-to-week basis. You don't just roll with the same team every week. That's silly. That's
actually,
how you're going to get to 8-3.
If you draft a balanced team, you don't really have to play
and then
the
you
matchup
get, and
as
then you
much.
Get third. And then you get third.
I tell you, I mean, I've done this the last 2 years. I've been in the finals in our NFL Fantasy Live League.
Did you win?
Were you in the final?
No, I got beat. But at that point, the playoffs are all luck, to be honest with you. There's a lot
of luck. There's a lot of luck
in fantasy football postseason.
Andrew Luck didn't
even
play last
year. But to get to the finals, I mean, that's saying something.
All right. All that information being said, the doctor on call has studied it. Dead or alive, the zero running back strategy in fantasy.
Don't let me down, Doc.
Yes, it's alive. Why? Because Damashek just used it. It better be alive or Harm is in a lot of trouble.
For better or worse, it's dead, my friend. At least in standard scoring leagues, it's dead.
Well, you can't say until we see. Well, let's see. Let's check back in 13 weeks, and then we'll see.
Well, so if you make the playoffs, then it worked. Or is it championship or bust?
Well, I mean, I don't know. Make the play. Let's see if I am.
Here's my promise. Here's my promise to you,
around,
Fabs.
If I'm over 100 most weeks, then it's a success.
But I will use it in a standard league this year, and we'll see.
And I would love to see that. That's great.
Real quick, to the fantasy gurus, young and old.
I don't know what a guru is.
Old?
Oldish.
I'm 43. Oh, boy, man.
Let's not compare numbers here.
Handsome, you say I'm in trouble at quarterback? I have Drew Brees and Tyrod Taylor.
Yeah, may not work out.
Those are two of the top six options, right?
I like that he's taking umbrage with your quarterback.
I mean, Tyrod.
Oh, yeah, Tyrod.
I like Tyrod. I wouldn't want Drew Brees.
That defense is going to be crummy, I think, in Buffalo, ironically. Yeah. And I think the offense is
Taylor was great last year.
I like Tyrod. I was half kidding. I wouldn't want Brees.
I'm just glad you didn't point out that Jared Cook, future top 10 tight end Jared Cook, is your starter, because that's where you're really strong.
You like Jared Cook or Julius Thomas there, Fabs?
Julius Thomas is kind of end of the top 10 tight end in fantasy.
I think Julius Thomas actually steals. Harmon's favorite football player is Allen Robinson. And I think Julius Thomas is going to steal.
If he can stay on the field, maybe.
All right, the great Michael Fabiano, excellent stuff as always. Thanks.
That's not what Harmon says.
I enjoyed that. Harmon calls him the great-ing Michael Fabiano.
Yeah. Yes.
I don't know. Anyway, thanks, Fabs.
It is what it is.
See him on NFL Fantasy Live. Read his pages at NFL.com. Track him down on Twitter. All that stuff.
Emma, will you just make sure he goes, and then we'll keep Matt back here for 10 minutes or so there's no – like you don't want them to be outside the studio.
He's on his way out now, yeah. That was some audio troubles there, huh?
There were audio troubles?
Up and down. Up and down with that yelling.
There's a lot of yelling.
A lot of
I don't really like to yell that
much. You know what? Handsome knows. I love heat as long as I'm not one of the people participating in it. I love to watch, and I like to help facilitate.
Yeah, by shouting things in the middle of it.
Yeah, I like to stoke
the flames. I feel like we
did
a good job of that.
I think you and I were great. Yeah. I think, Handsome, you and I were the winners here.
Right.
I hope the listener agrees that he or she is also a winner for that.
Yes.
And let's also remember, this is what we do for a living.
Right.
That's what the funniest part of all is.
Right.
So we sit around.
I like the fact that there are two grown men arguing about this.
Oh, believe me.
In general.
Every day I have an existential crisis about how meaningless this all really is.
Now, see, that's the hipster beard and I'm talking.
Sorry.
All right, last thing. As I promised at the very top of the show, Black Tie, our longtime producer, has moved up to San Francisco now. But in his honor, we will keep his most legendary bit alive, the Elimination Chamber. We have a good question today.
Elimination Chamber.
Rank was with us the other day. Adam Rank came back to bid his farewell to Black Tie. And he cracked the code of how to do the Elimination Chamber. After all these years, we could never figure out the meaning of it, including Black Tie.
Right.
What are you eliminating, the good one or the bad
one?
I think it was Rank said this. I'm going to give you four teams. Now with the terrible Teddy Bridgewater injury, which is a real shame, and hopefully he comes back soon. I really do legitimately think he was about to take it to another level this year. I think he was going to thrive. So feel bad for him. But as it is, the NFC wild card now feels more in play for teams that otherwise might not have had enough to catch up to the Vikings or Packers or Cardinals or Seahawks, because presumably the loser in those two divisions will still have a good enough record to get that wild card. So eliminate one until we get to who is going to be left standing with the wild card: the Vikings, the Cowboys, the Redskins, the Buccaneers. If you want me to throw another name in there, I this is the time to do it. But I think those are the
four. I think those are four good ones to track against.
Yeah. Okay. Handsome, go ahead and eliminate one.
Of those four, so we're going to whittle it down.
We're going to whittle it down. Take one that you know is not
The first one I'm taking off the list is the Redskins.
I know. Oh, that's the one I agree with. All right, go. I mean, I don't agree. All right, go ahead. So they're gone. That's fine. DC out.
I'm going to eliminate Dallas.
I hear that noise. All right, so that leaves it to me to eliminate. Here it is. I am going to knock off the Minnesota Vikings, and congratulations to famous Jameis Winston. He gets the wild card. He guides those Buccaneers to a playoff spot in his second year. Gerald McCoy, Levante David, Mike Evans, I think, has a really big year in fantasy and in real terms.
Doug, wait a second. Do you really believe this? Or are you? I mean, I get that we all just eliminated one. Is that what you thought would be the final one?
I really did think.
Really?
Yeah. I had the, I have the Buccaneers getting in at 9-7. You disagree with that?
No, I don't. I mean, I just, you sounded so prepared then. It sounded like that was the team you're expecting to
it
come
is,
out of
it,
this.
It is, wasn't in fact, my choice. Yeah, that was who it was. Although the other team that looms, although, you know, a lot of people are getting behind Mike Zimmer. He's going to overcome this, and that team's built to win, and they are.
But quarterback's just too – yeah, Sean Hill is
– yeah, it's tough to overcome that. Yeah. It's a lot to overcome.
Yeah, Sean – I mean, a lot of people I've heard in the last 48 hours or so make the argument that, well, Teddy Bridgewater only threw 15 TDs last year, and they won the division, so obviously his presence isn't key to their – He, like I say, one, he was going to take it to another right. level. Two, the Packers are going to be better than they were last year. And three, Sean Hill is a major drop-off from Teddy Bridgewater.
So what if it's not
you know
Sean Hill?
Not.
What if there is a trade for a Geno Smith or A.J. McCarron, I think, is probably not realistic.
I don't buy that they can get up to speed early in the season to make a big difference. I think you got to roll Sean. Even if you did get, say, Geno Smith or
right.
Josh McCown or
Nick
whoever
Foles
else.
Or whatever.
Whoever, right. Nick, that's a good one. Nick Foles would be somebody you might take a look at. But no matter who it is, I don't think in the short term you could say, hey, yeah, we start in 7 days.
It's
get
easier
ready to
with
go.
The guy standing right. behind you, though.
I guess. But how helpful would Sean Hill be? I'd be like, nope, well, you want him to play quarterback, he can figure it out.
No, I meant Adrian Peterson, not Sean Hill.
Oh, I see. I thought you were saying
with that guy standing behind you, it's probably a little bit easier.
Here's a play that'll always work here. Like Sean Hill would be like, I'm going to give you the
worst one. I'm going to give you the worst one. I don't think Sean Hill's that kind
of. I want to talk to an NFL QB who does diabolical stuff like that. Like Doug Flutie. I gave Doug Johnson terrible ideas before the game. That's why he was so terrible. All right, so congratulations to the Bucs and condolences to the Vikings, and ultimately, who really knows whether or not it's true. We'll be back to get you all set. I have a feeling I'm going to outlast the closing music.
That was way too early.
On our episode, I know, she jumped the gun. And
Black Tie would never have done that.
Oh, yeah, he would have. He would have asked for the show to be over 28 minutes ago. I'll say this, though. We have to figure out – once all the preseason games are over, as is our tradition, then and only then can we put Damashek's seasonal predictions in pen rather than pencil.
Well, because you need to see who makes a 53 mount. You want to see who the last three players
are. I have to have all the information.
Okay,
look at what just happened to Teddy B.
Yep.
I had him at 11-5 and in the playoffs.
So you'll be watching – we're recording this on Thursday. You'll be watching all the games very closely during the fourth quarter just to see who makes it and who doesn't.
No, I don't I don't watch the preseason games at all. I've told you that. That only muddies your thinking. That's
so
the
why
Civil
would you,
War
why are you waiting then?
It almost looks because I have to see who gets hurt. I don't know who might get hurt in the next few days in practice. I have to see that. Okay. And you'll have my final predictions. All right. Thanks to Matt Harmon, Michael Fabiano, Handsome Hank, and the great AJ Hawk. We'll be back with more Hooey and Applesauce later on. Wow, that was good timing.
That's good timing. That's much
better. In the meantime, actually, it's been a thin slice of heaven. Harmon doesn't like Fabs, and Fabs thinks that Harmon's junk, junk, junk.